In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text for today begins with Jesus departing to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Why does he go there? These were prominent cities in ancient Phoenicia, in the modern-day Lebanon. It's a Mediterranean coastal civilization. They're known for their trade, for their seafaring and craftsmanship, particularly in glass and purple dyes. And they were the culture, of course, as you may know them, who developed the alphabet. They were wealthy and powerful. Yet, as it is often said, wealth and power corrupt. This culture was full of idolatry and sinful practices. And so they received God's judgment often, and he often used them as well to declare an even worse judgment upon others. He says, it would be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon than for the cities that reject my message. So why is Jesus going here? It's vacation. He and his disciples are getting away from the hardships of the ministry for a time. They're refocusing, they're meditating, and they are praying and receiving some respite. It would be the same as I, you know, going home, and when I pull out my collar, I'm done, right? It's on the shelf now. Or maybe when you get home from work, the first thing you want to do, take off your work clothes and put on pajamas, right? Or whatever it is. Get out of those work clothes. Right? It's time for me to kick up my feet and just relax. Or for me also, when I go on a trip, right? Although I've learned to take my clericals with me, I often try not to because I don't want to do anything. Right? Even if I'm going to a church service on a Sunday, don't ask me to help you, right? Whoever pastor is, even my own father. I don't want to help you with the service. I want to sit with my family and just receive. Right? But as it often happens sometimes, the Lord has other things in store for us. Imagine yourself being a car mechanic and you're on a trip in the Cancun and your driver's taking you down the road and all of a sudden you see someone on the side with their car, with their hood up and smoke just billowing out. Oh, Lord, right? Got to get to work. Okay. And so it is for Jesus here. Someone comes to him, crying out for mercy. It says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. What a beautiful confession. She cries out for mercy. She knows who she's crying out to, the Lord himself. And she calls him a good title here, the son of David, the king. And why go to Jesus if he is not the one who has power over even the demons? So she already shows herself to be a woman of quite great faith here. With such great a confession, we are instantly caused to wonder, what's Jesus going to say? Right? To other people who have said such things, he instantly answers their prayers. But Jesus is here on vacation. Is he going to put his clerical back on or just say, I'm on vacation, right? Go somewhere else. Give me another time. You can call the office on Monday, right? And Jesus answered her not a word, it says. Now, the disciples interpret this silence as Jesus rejecting the woman. But the woman just couldn't deal with that. She didn't believe it. And so she went and she cried to the disciples, hoping that they would join her in her prayer for her daughter. This is called intercessory prayer. When we seek help from the Lord's servants, just the same as seeking help from a pastor or from a brother or sister in Christ. At times, this is the way that the Lord desires to help us. That is through the brotherhood. This is the life of a disciple. As it's written, we who are strong have an obligation to bear the weaknesses of the weak and not to please ourselves. Romans 15. Elsewhere, and we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. And finally, in James, he says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders, the pastors of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James chapter 5. This is our Lord's own brother, by the way. So the woman's doing the right thing here. She is not, as is done amongst some, praying to the saints who have died, or praying to Mary, thinking that God will hear their prayer because of their position or supposed holiness or closeness to Jesus. She is not saying, oh, pastor, pray for me, for I know that God hears your prayers, but not mine. Rather, she is saying, oh, disciples, oh, pastors, join me in praying for my daughter. The Lord will hear our cries. So the woman gets it. The disciples do not. You'll notice on the front cover of our bulletin, it says, one of the themes for this Sunday, Jesus suffered the weakness, not of the woman, but of his disciples. They show themselves to be very unfaithful here. The disciples rejected the woman. Nevertheless, she persisted. She was even more persistent than even the demon possessing her child. She would not leave, no matter how many words of rebuke they cast upon her. They were powerless to cast out the woman, just as powerless as they were to cast out demons at times. As it is written elsewhere, Jesus' disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast out the demon? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. And so, finally, to prayer they turned. They came and urged Jesus, saying, not, Jesus, cast out the demon from the daughter, right? But, Jesus, send the woman away, right? For she cries out after us. Yikes. But Jesus answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this is true. St. Paul says it this way. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. That's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name is called Israel. Elsewhere, Paul says this. My countrymen, according to the flesh, are the Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, the patriarchs, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came. So Jesus speaks the truth here. The disciples hear this, however, in one way. They hear it as, this woman has no claim on him whatsoever. And therefore, Jesus doesn't care about her sufferings or the plight of her daughter. Send her away. But the woman heard Jesus reply in quite another way. By faith, she knew that the promises given to the patriarchs contained a blessing for her also. For the promises given to the fathers was this. Your offspring will possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That means The Savior of the house of Israel, their great shepherd, would be the Savior of the whole world. Even he who possesses the gate of his enemy, Satan, who has the keys right now of death and Hades. So in faith, the woman persisted. She came and she worshipped Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." It is as if she were saying, "The Lord of Israel is my Lord. As you came to their aid, so come to mine." Fascinating here. Jesus continues to test this woman, to test her immovable faith. He does this in order to bring forth a beautiful confession of the faith, that by the same faith, we too might be set free from the demonic powers over this present darkness. Jesus answered the woman's plea for help and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord." In other words, "I am a dog. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." In other words, Jesus was sent to find and feed his children first. But his own children rejected the Savior and the bread of life he had come to feed them. In their disgust, they threw the true food. Think about the disgust, like eating broccoli, right? The kids, and throw it under the table. That's how they treated Jesus, right? "Oh, gross, I don't want this. How can he give us his flesh to eat?" Right? In their disgust, they threw this true food of his to the very dogs of the nations. And these dogs mauled the Savior and his bread and tossed him into that trash heap of Golgotha. That's when you throw the broccoli under the table and the dog says, "No thanks," either, right? But to those little dogs who do receive Jesus, who believe in his name, he gives them the right to become better than dogs and better than children of Abraham. He gives them the authority to become children begotten of God himself. And as a wicked man yet feeds his children, how much more does our Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Indeed, he gives them more than mere bread, but the very bread of life to eat. Yes, the woman was a dog according to the flesh. She had no rights, no claim, no merit or worthiness in her. But she believed in the name of Jesus. And by that faith, Jesus considered her a dog no longer. Oftentimes, people are fascinated by this account and they say, "Look, Jesus called a woman a dog." What is more fascinating is that he calls this dog a woman. She was a blessed child of God, a true woman of faith. And so he says to her, "O woman, now, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. God be praised. From this gospel, we learn the power of prayer. Although we are neither worthy for the things for which we pray, nor deserve them, we ask that God would give them all to us by grace, for Christ's sake. We learn that we have a direct, reconciled relationship to God the Father through the atoning death of Jesus Christ our Lord. So we don't pray to any saints or to Mary, nor do we think that pastors' prayers are more effective than our own. You pray for them. God will hear you. No. We pray directly to God ourselves, who hears our prayers and our prayers for others. And so we do pray for others. I join those who have asked me to pray with them. I join them in their prayers. as we all do when we say, not my, but our Father who art in heaven. God doesn't always grant our prayers right away, though. Sometimes, as we see here, He desires to bring forth something additional, something good out of a tough situation. Nevertheless, we may be confident through this account as well that God certainly hears our prayers. And though He may not give us what we ask for right away, or perhaps even not at all, for His good reasons, He always, always gives us good things. He gives us Jesus. He gives us His Son, in whom is the fullness of God's love, His joy, His peace, His long-suffering, His kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness and gentleness, and His self-control. Jesus is your Lord, who gives you to drink of His Spirit and to eat of the very bread of life, life immortal. Be satisfied in Christ. He is the answer to all your prayers. He will bring you out of every tribulation and trial or temptation you may face in one way or another. And in the end, He will deliver you unto paradise. So cling to Him. Cling to Jesus, as the woman does. This is the one through whom God hears and answers our every prayer. He will never disappoint. From this gospel account, we also learn that according to our sinful flesh, we are all poor, miserable dogs. Pastor called us dogs today. Not Jesus does. But by the gracious word of Christ, we have been given saving faith in His name. This faith grants us the right to become true women of faith, men after God's own heart, children of the Father, to whom belongs the full inheritance of Christ. And what is this inheritance which we do have and shall have in full? It is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the gift of life everlasting. This is the gift which we shall dwell in, this new creation of God, in which we shall dwell as children forever. This good news, this gospel of ours, transcends all cultural, all racial, all geographical boundaries, bringing salvation to all who believe. And so, O chosen generation, great is your faith. May the Lord grant all your prayers and petitions through Jesus Christ our Lord. And they who were once dogs, now called women, men, and children, came at once to receive even the crumbs which fell from their master's table. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory.